It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good morning to you. How you doing this morning? Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today as we begin this Thanksgiving week on a chilly note here in the South. They call it really cold down here. If you're living up north, it's kind of a nice fall day. But down here, it's hat time, scarf time, heavy coat time, you name it. But it's pleasant out there this morning. And if you're one of those 51 million Americans, according to AAA, are traveling this week, please be careful out there. Busy time. I was in a busy airport on the weekend myself, and a lot of folks traveling. And so we want to be careful out there. It is going to be a busy week. A lot of people out shopping already ahead of what's traditionally called, of course, Black Friday. Speaking of that, yesterday at our church, our pastor had a great message, but our children's pastor, I thought, had a great message for the kids yesterday morning with regards to Thanksgiving. And she brought into the church a whole pile of flyers. You know, you've been getting those flyers in your newspaper over the last several days about the sales that are coming up, et cetera, et cetera. And she was saying, you know, these flyers represent an attempt to tell you, to telegraph to you, you need more stuff. And instead, you know, and she was careful about this as far as saying, you know, it's not wrong to give gifts, and she's not saying that. But on this being Thanksgiving week, maybe we ought to be focusing on being thankful for what God has given us already. Those are the important things. Salvation, our relationship with Jesus Christ through his death on the cross. Salvation by faith through grace alone. Number one, but then living here in America, the blessings, the material blessings, just incredible. So I thought it was a great message for those kids. And she challenged the kids to go home and talk to their moms and dads about, you know, you see these ads out here, you know, let's think about thanking God for what we have instead of focusing so much this week on getting more stuff. And let's face it. For the most part, that's what it is. And so I thought that was great advice from our children's pastor at our church, and a great message for this week, to be truly thankful. By the way, it is Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. And let me get on a soapbox a little bit. I get increasingly frustrated with businesses that are encroaching more and more and making their employees come in on Thanksgiving Day. Now, it used to be kind of a fun thing back, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I'm not sure when the whole Black Friday issue started, but, you know, midnight on that Thursday, you know, people rush in at Black Friday and get special deals at stores and that kind of thing. But more and more businesses are pushing it back. I was in a mall on the weekend, and some of the stores are going to open up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thanksgiving Day. And what that really means, folks, is that they're going to force their employees to come in, to take them away from their families and to come in and to work just so for a few extra bucks. And that's it. And I just think, you know, maybe it's time that Christians thought about, well, I'm not going to go shopping on that day. If there's no shoppers, it kind of defeats the purpose for those stores wanting to open. So and I know, you know, we have Christians who work for companies that are going to be opening up on Thursday. And, you know, I feel for you folks, and got to have a job. And I understand all of that, but I just think these, and a lot of these are major national corporations, folks, that are doing this. They just want to just get an extra foot up, get a few more bucks in. Come on, we can wait a day, and it ought to be a day when we are focused on truly being thankful for what all God has given us. A time when families can get together and be thankful for the blessings of family, for moms and dads, for Christians, for moms and dads who have brought us up in Christian homes, being thankful for that, being thankful for the kids that God has given us, and the freedoms that we have in this country to meet in our churches. You know, I was thinking yesterday, when you look at other countries around the world, China, for example, or Russia, you know, where Christians, and certainly in the Middle East, where Christians have to meet in secret. But yesterday, thousands of churches across this country, that wasn't a concern. You freely got up yesterday morning, and you got in your vehicles, and you went to church, and you're never really thinking about somebody coming in and saying, no, you can't preach the gospel. So we have much to be thankful for, and that ought to be our focus this week. But if you are driving out there, we want to caution you to be very careful arrive to stay alive or something of that nature. I think that's an old saying, is it, Rob? Drive to stay alive or something like that. There was a saying,
and I went blank too.
That's a thought, you know, take your time getting there and, you know, don't get frustrated at those long lines at the airport and that you're going to be facing that. But enjoy this week, folks. A lot of us have time off. Obviously, we're not among them, Rob, this morning.
That's right.
We're here working, but a lot of folks have time off. I think most of the universities, colleges got out probably last Friday. Not sure about public schools. I suppose that varies across the country.
Varies, I believe.
Yeah, across the country.
Buckle up. I went blank then.
I'm telling you. The thought is there, Rob.
It is. Just drive safe and buckle up.
Drive safe. All right. In the midst of all of this, folks, the news continues, though. We want to bring you up to date on all of that. Here's a headline this morning. President Trump, may not surprise you, is busy on Twitter again this morning. And his focus this morning, he says the NFL should suspend Oakland Raiders' Marshawn Lynch. Why is he saying that? President Donald Trump says the NFL should suspend Oakland Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch. Lynch sat during most of the U.S. anthem and stood for the Mexican anthem before Sunday's game against the Patriots at the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. Lynch hasn't stood for the national anthem since returning from retirement this season. Trump tweeted early this morning, "Great disrespect. Next time NFL should suspend him for remainder of the season. Attendance and ratings way down." So there you have it. There's a bunch of people, folks, that are these protesting, mindless protesting. They ought to be thankful for the country that they live in. As we have pointed out many times before, these are millionaires. Where else in the world could you play sports like this and be a millionaire? This country allows them to do this. This country has allowed them to succeed, to be rewarded for their talents, and yet they don't show respect. Herschel Walker, football player?
Yeah.
I just saw him on Fox News this morning and expressing total disgust with those players. He says, and I'm paraphrasing here, he says, this is our country. You may not like everything in it.
Right.
You may have some things that you disagree with, but the anthem represents the country, and you ought to respect that. And those calls are going out, and as the president mentioned in his tweet this morning, attendance and ratings way down. People are getting tired of this, Rob.
I totally quit watching pro ball this year just for that reason. I mean, I love football, don't get me wrong, but I've just transferred all my enjoyment into football, into the college game, and just enjoying many different college games besides my team, my school. I don't have a need to participate in something that goes against my nation and our military.
Yep. And you know, it's not so much, you know, I mean, there is disgust, obviously, with the players. There's a lot of frustration with the league.
Right.
For not upholding the rules, because the rules say they need to stand during the national anthem, and they're not upholding those rules.
Yeah, it goes all the way to the top in the NFL. And frankly, I can't recall his name, the commissioner.
Yep.
He needs to step down or be removed, in my opinion. He should have enforced the rules.
That's what the rules are there for. All right. Also this morning, thoughts and prayers going out to one of our custom and border protection agents who was fatally injured responding to activity along the border yesterday. The headline this morning, you can read this on One News Now, FBI investigating after Border Patrol agent dies on duty. Authorities are searching the Texas Big Bend area for potential suspects and witnesses. Border Patrol spokesman said they could not provide any details last night on what caused the agent's injuries or what led to them. The spokesman, Carlos Diaz, says the FBI has taken over the investigation. Another spokesman said agent Rogelio Martinez, 36, and his partner were transported to a local hospital where Martinez died. Partner is in serious condition. President Trump commenting about the incident on Twitter last night amid a series of unrelated tweets. "We will seek out and bring to justice those responsible," his tweet read. He also reiterated his call for a wall at the U.S. border with Mexico. Border Patrol records, listen to this, folks. Border Patrol records show Big Bend accounted for about 1% of the more than 61,000 apprehensions its agents made along the southwest border between October of last year and May of this year. Obviously, that number probably has gone up. It's amazing to me that we are still debating the idea of making sure our southern border is secure. Why the debate over this? And probably I can answer my own question on this. It's pure politics, folks. That's all it is. It is a bid to attract the Hispanic vote in this country. And it goes back over successive Democrat and Republican presidents pushing this problem down the road, the issue of amnesty down the road, down the road. And yet we're still having this debate. And border agents are dying because of it. The Border Patrol website lists 38 agents who have died since late 2003. Some attacked while working along the border and others killed in traffic accidents. It lists one other agent's death in the line of duty this year. So be praying for this family who has lost this loved one. And also be praying for wisdom for our politicians and courage by our politicians to do what is right. All right, mixed signals sent on the fate of tax bills health provision. That's the headline this morning from the Associated Press. What they're talking about is whether the Obamacare individual mandate will be removed from the Senate portion of the bill, the tax reform bill. Now, Susan Collins, who's a senator from Maine, was on broadcast during the weekend. We don't have time for it. We'll do it coming right out of the break. But she's one of those that's questioning the need for this. Now, if you're not familiar with the individual mandate, basically it's that portion of Obamacare, which then President Obama and Democrats put in place, that said everybody has to buy health insurance or pay a fine. And there's been a promise going back to last year's election that Obamacare would be repealed. Now we're even having some Republicans who are even resisting removing that portion that says you must buy health insurance. A whole lot more on this when we come back. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred sitting in. We're back right after the break.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Here's Dr. Al Mohler from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
I think one of the most interesting realizations from reading the Gospels is that this was a question. Can the authority of Christ be pitted against the authority of Scriptures? That was a question that was present in the Gospels and to which Jesus decisively answered, most importantly in the Sermon on the Mount, where he made very clear, not one jot, not one tittle of the word will pass away until all is fulfilled. Do not think, he said, that I have come to abolish the law, but rather to fulfill it. So it's really interesting if we ask that question, well, here's Christ himself saying, I didn't come to in any way subvert the scripture, I came to fulfill the scripture. I came in order that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The Kansas chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union is demanding answers after a Muslim was dismissed from the Garden City Community College basketball team. Here's the backstory. The Garden City Bronkbusters have a rule. You stay inside the locker room until after the national anthem. But Rasul Samir disobeyed that rule. When the fans rose for the national anthem, Rasul grabbed a basketball, walked onto the court, and began shooting hoops. The folks around Garden City say they're tired of athletes disrespecting America. One fan decided to confront the kid. You can read what happened on my website, toddstarnes.com. The following day, Rasul was dismissed from the team. The ACLU claims the young man's rights were violated. They say the Muslim faith prohibits act of reverence to anyone or anything but God. If, in fact, that's true, Rasul should have stayed in the locker room with his teammates. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy the next couple of days. Sandy takes a little bit of a Thanksgiving break. Just before the break, we were talking about the problems Republicans are running into with regards to, in the midst of their tax reform efforts, wanted to get rid of the so-called individual mandate, the Obamacare individual mandate. Now, apparently, there are some senators, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised by that, Republican senators who are resisting that. One of them, Susan Collins, was on a network program this weekend and explaining why she opposes including dumping the mandate inside the tax reform package.
Let's move on to the tax bill. Passed the Senate Finance Committee this week, and a separate tax bill passed the House. Can you vote for the bill that passed the Senate Finance Committee?
I want to see changes in that bill, and I think there will be changes. There are some provisions of the House bill that I like better. For example, the House retains the top rate of 39.6. percent for people who make $1 million or more a year. That's a change that I'd like to see be made in the Senate bill so that we can skew more of the relief to middle-income taxpayers. There's some very good provisions in the Senate bill, such as the doubling of the child tax credit and making it refundable for people of low incomes. There's also a doubling of the standard deduction, which means that a family making $24,000 would not pay any income tax. So there are provisions of both bills that I like, but I think the bill needs work.
You can't vote for it as written.
I haven't reached that conclusion yet because I think there are going to be further changes. But the biggest mistake was putting in a provision from the Affordable Care Act into the Senate bill that's not in the House bill. And I hope that will be dropped or that bills have been introduced by Senators Alexander and Murray and Bill Nelson and myself will be adopted to mitigate the impact of those provisions.
Well, there you have it. That's the problem that President Trump and conservative Republicans keep running into. You've got these Republican senators that keep resisting, in this case, getting rid of Obamacare, and in this case, just one portion of Obamacare, and that is that individual mandate. That's leading to a lot of frustrations among conservative Republicans, and among them is our good friend Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Fred. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you on this Thanksgiving week. So what is it? I mean, this seems to be the problem. We know the Democrats aren't going to go along with this, but President Trump and conservative Republicans keep running into this resistance among fellow Republicans.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, it's hard to add anything else to that. I guess the only thing I would say for some perspective is that every Democrat, it's just amazing to me, every Democrat is voting the wrong way on these issues in the House of Representatives and in the United States Senate. So even when they're representing conservative states like Missouri and North Dakota and West Virginia and so forth, they toe the party line and they vote against virtually anything that President Trump proposes. On our side, the overwhelming majority of Republican senators are doing the right thing. I guess if you looked at the senators right now, we've got, 52 Republican senators, I believe. 46 of them are clearly going to vote for the tax cut. But we've got this group of renegades like John McCain and perhaps Senator Corker of Tennessee and others that they nitpick, and they, at the end of the day, they come up with some sort of an excuse to deny the American people once again the reform and the ability to keep more of our own hard-earned money, which I think the country very much wants to see happen.
You mentioned Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee and also Jeff Flake of Arizona. Both of them have said they're not going to run again. Is it unfair to be suspect that these are two Republican senators that want this administration to fail and they will do anything to contribute to that? Is that an unfair accusation?
Well, I think, when you hear hoofbeats, you look around for a horse, and in this case, the horse in the room seems to be the obvious hostility that Senator Corker and Senator Flake have for President Trump. And it's sad to see that. And I would throw Senator McCain into that same basket. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that they would put their animus toward the president in front of what's best for the country. On the other hand, Fred, I look at Senator Corker from a great conservative state like Tennessee. Senator Corker comes across as a real nice guy. I will never forgive him for the fact that he went along with Democrats and changed the rules in the Senate that eliminated the need for President Obama to have to get 66 votes to ratify the deal that Obama made with Iran. And instead, the way the new rules were written, we had to get 60 votes to end the debate on the bill. Yeah. And we couldn't do that. And so as a result, Iran got hundreds of billions of dollars, and are causing havoc all over the Middle East. And this is from a guy from a conservative state. He ran as a conservative. So, you know, when you're wrong on something like that, then I guess I'm not surprised that he might end up blowing this tax bill up, and by doing so, deal a deadly blow to the chances of Republicans to keep the United States Senate next year.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. They're all taking the week off, our lawmakers, and they say they're going to deal with this when they come back. So we'll see what's going to happen in any compromise that comes about in the Senate bill and the House bill on tax reform. Want to move on to something else. Bill and Hillary Clinton celebrating Bill's 25th election anniversary this weekend. There's so much to talk about here.
Yeah.
But I want you to have a little listen to what Hillary Clinton had to say about if Fox News was around way back then when Bill was running for president, well, he may not have won.
Unfortunately, our body politics immune system has been impaired because there has been a concerted effort starting with the creation of the Fox network. It wasn't there when Bill first ran. It was one of the reasons he probably survived. It was there when he ran the second time. It and all of its associated media outlets, who are by no means delivering news, they're delivering partisan advocacy positions, irrespective of the truth, the facts, the evidence. And I think we've got to stand up, regardless of what party, regardless of our own ideological beliefs. A democracy depends upon an informed citizenry that has access to accurate information.
What's ringing in my ears is this Hillary Clinton vast right-wing conspiracy and her... her description, you know, all the other media, they're great. You know, Washington Post, the New York Times. But, you know, do people with three brain cells actually, you know, believe what this woman says anymore?
I don't even know if she believes it anymore. seriously, when you just look at the American media, 90% of the American media is lock, stock, and barrel in on the side of the left and the Democratic Party. For conservatives, we've got Fox TV, we've got conservative talk radio, which is a wonderful thing to have, and we've got Christian radio, and a handful of conservative newspapers around the country. But that's not enough for Hillary Clinton and the left. They want the country to have no place that voters can go to get a conservative viewpoint on the issues of the day. They want the kind of unanimity of opinion that you usually get in authoritarian countries, communist countries, fascist countries. It is just amazing to me. So the list goes on, right? The Russians cost me the election. The Fox News cost me the election. It's so unbecoming. And it's surprising to me. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but my goodness, doesn't she have any dignity? Can't she just say, I fought as hard as I could? The American people clearly heard both sides. And for reasons I don't fully understand, they picked the president. So that's on me. You know, I mean, it is amazing, Fred, but there it is.
Yeah, there it is. But I'll tell you what, on a somewhat more serious note, I am seeing more and more in the wake of the allegations against Judge Roy Moore in Alabama, now, of course, Democrat Senator Al Franken, about it is time to give an accounting for Bill Clinton's behavior leading up to him becoming president during the time he was president, because you will remember Hillary Clinton stayed silent for the most part about his treatment of women. But I'm seeing more and more, even amongst some liberal publications, that it's coming home to roost. Hillary Clinton stayed silent and mocked the women who were accusing Bill Clinton of including rape of women. And she stayed silent. I remember, I think it was Paula Jones in particular, she called trailer trash when her. So I think there may be, and maybe I'm being overly optimistic here, but there may be a day of reckoning coming for the Clintons.
Hope springs eternal, I guess, and better late than never, so I suppose. But you gave a good summary there, Fred. Look, not only did Hillary Clinton, by and large, stay silent or make excuses for her husband, but there's a lot of evidence that she was basically in charge of a war room at the Clinton White House whose sole purpose was to discredit and to smear the women that came forward to say that they had been assaulted or molested by Bill Clinton. So that makes her, you know, in the pantheon of what liberals really hate, it's when a woman legitimately comes forward and says, this man did this to me, and somebody goes out there and tries to smear the woman and says, well, it's the way she was dressed, or it's, you know, she was doing this, or she was doing that, or whatever. Well, that is exactly what the Clinton White House did to those women who came forward about what Bill Clinton had done to them. And yet Bill Clinton was invited to the Democratic National Convention to give a major speech in front of thousands of women who I think would describe themselves as fairly aggressive feminists.
Yeah.
So there hasn't been a day of reckoning for Bill Clinton, and if we're getting close to that, it would be a good thing. I don't see how any progressive group in America can invite him to give a speech on any issue, given that he has never admitted to what he clearly did and clearly lied about, in fact, lied under oath, resulting in his disbarment. People have tended to forget that.
It's going to be interesting to see, Gary, how the Democrats are going to handle the now Senator Franken controversy. He says that he is going to think it over as to whether he is going to resign over the whole story that exploded last week with that radio host from Los Angeles.
Yes, I saw that. I have a little bit of a history with Senator Franken. He followed me around Iowa when I was campaigning in 2000 and harassed me at press conferences and so forth, tried to catch me with trick questions, ended up liking the way I handled it all. And then at one point, we actually had lunch, Fred, if you can imagine that, although the
are there pictures of that, Gary?
Sharp objects.
Are there pictures somewhere of that, Gary, of you and Al Franken having lunch together?
Exactly. I mean, it's just amazing that happened. And then amazingly, in a book that he wrote, he described me as his good friend. I thought, my goodness, what one lunch and I'm his good friend. Look, he's been doing and saying borderline things for a long time, and this was a pretty dramatic example of that. And I think he is in trouble. As conservatives, we shouldn't applaud too loudly, however, because there's already a movement afoot in Minnesota that if he is forced to resign, to replace him with Congressman Keith Ellison, who would be the first Muslim senator and who has a long record, not of sexual harassment, but of being anti-Israel and anti-Semitic and a follower of Malcolm X and the whole black Muslim movement.
Gary, we only have just about a minute left here. I just wanted to get your thought on where the Roy Moore controversy likely is going to end up.
It's at this point, it is up to the people of Alabama. I see some signs that they don't like being told by the Washington Post who to vote for. So I think he could still win the race. And I think holding somebody responsible for things that can't be proved 40 years ago, I think that's a stretch.
Gary, where can people learn more about your views on the issues?
Go to OurAmericanValues.org.
OurAmericanValues.org. Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. So good to have you with us this morning, Gary. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Fred.
You take care.
You too.
All right. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy. Whole lot more ahead when we come back on this Monday morning. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Target has announced it's closing 12 stores. In the announcement, they said they typically close stores as a result of seeing several years of decreasing profitability. Stores will close in Michigan, Kansas, Georgia, Louisiana, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Texas, and Target's home state of Minnesota. Yet they say these store closings are a move toward growth. Okay, if you want to stick with that line, be my guest. But your stance has led you to this point where things aren't going too well for you. A little humble pie may help before it's too late.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Franklin Graham talks about a vital part of Operation Christmas Child.
We ask people to pray. Pray for the child that's going to get your box. Can you imagine millions of people praying for children this year?
You've packed your shoebox. You've prayed. And now it's time to drop off your shoebox. Find the drop-off location near you at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Peace with God is when we're saved. The peace of God is when we begin to realize what our heritage is in Christ. But there are certain times in life when we need the peace that comes from God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for How to Be Happy According to Jesus, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When you're sick and you visit the doctor, there are two questions you want answered. What's wrong with me? And can you heal me? And likewise, for every Christian, there came a point in time when we realized we were hopelessly sick with a disease called sin, totally helpless to save ourselves. That moment of conviction over sin is the doorway to grace. As Jesus said, He didn't come for the healthy, or those who think they are. He came to heal the sick. And so Paul's words to Timothy become our own confession, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It's then, and only then, that the healing begins, and God adopts us as His own. Try out Anchor Devotional, in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A fateful decision faces the Republican congressional leadership, always tempted to do the expedient thing that passes for governing in official Washington. That would entail a year-end spending bill that abandons the conservative principles and policies that put them in charge. For example, by approving an amnesty for illegal aliens, further deficit spending on domestic programs, and failing to secure our southern border. Such a deal would delight Democrats, but break faith with the millions of Americans who elected Republicans to do precisely the opposite. Today, 43 prominent conservatives and I wrote legislators urging them not to go there. We emphasize that, quote, in control of Congress and the presidency for the first time in a decade, Republicans must reverse the leftist policies that threaten our economy, our military, and the hopes of the American people, unquote. If you agree, please do the same. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy over the next couple of days on this Thanksgiving week. Still lots of news happening out there, as we were just discussing with Gary Bauer. We're just wondering if the Democrats are going to hold Al Franken accountable for his actions. You know the story from last week. The Los Angeles radio host coming forward with not only allegations, but that picture of Al Franken doing something extremely inappropriate to her while she slept on a military plane. They were returning from a USO event. And she also went on to describe other things of him forcibly kissing her, et cetera, et cetera. Al Franken, as we mentioned a few moments ago, said over the weekend he's going home and think about whether he needs to resign over this issue. Certainly the calls for Roy Moore to get out of the race in Alabama are certainly there from the Democrats. Are they going to be reluctant to hold Al Franken to the same standard that they say with regards to Roy Moore? Now, there's another aspect here. We're going to go to our phones in just a second. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Would like your thoughts on that. Would like your thoughts on the Republicans, the Republican senators, reluctant to help President Trump get his agenda through. We chatted with Gary Bauer about that as well, that you've got senators like Susan Collins of Maine, Republican senators like Susan Collins of Maine, Corker of Tennessee, and Flake of Arizona, many people who believe that they are really not interested in seeing this president succeed in his agenda. Now, to Alabama, what's your thoughts on this also? Conservatives, for the most part, Christian conservatives, certainly are still backing Alabama's Roy Moore. They say those are allegations that are out there of things that occurred 40 years ago and so far have not been proven. Certainly, Judge Roy Moore denying those allegations. But there's another aspect to this that we want to think about this morning. If Roy Moore gets out, or if people vote for his Democrat opponent, the Democrat senator there, Doug Jones, Democrat Senate candidate there, Doug Jones. And there's another aspect to this that's out there that people need to think about is where Doug Jones stands on the issue of the pro-life issues. And now he has tried to modify his radical pro-abortion stance in recent days in the wake of the Roy Moore controversy. But listen, folks, he is all in on abortion at any point in the pregnancy. This is an interview that Doug Jones did with MSNBC back in September, and this is what he had to say about his stand on abortion.
What are the limitations that you believe should be in the law when it comes to an abortion?
Well, look, I am a firm believer that a woman should have the freedom to choose what happens to her own body. And I'm going to stand up for that, and I'm going to make sure that that continues to happen. I want to make sure that as we go forward, people have access to contraception, they have access to the abortion that they might need, if that's what they choose to do. I think that that's going to be an issue that we can work with and talk to people about from both sides of the aisle. It's one of those.
But you wouldn't legislate, so you wouldn't be in favor of legislation that said ban abortion after 20 weeks or something like that?
Now, I'm not in favor of anything that is going to infringe on a woman's right and her freedom to choose. That's just the position that I've had for many years. It's the position I continue to have. But when those people, I want to make sure people understand that once a baby is born, I'm going to be there for that child. That's where I become a right to lifer.
After the baby is born, then I'm a pro-lifer. Now, you understand what Doug Jones is saying there, folks. What he's saying is that he is all in on aborting that little unborn baby right up to the end of the gestation period. That would include, from his own words, that would include partial birth abortion. Now, so this is what the folks in Alabama are facing this morning as we get closer to that December 12th election date. There are those allegations that are out there against Judge Roy Moore, allegations that have not been proven yet. You have Republicans, you have conservative commentators and others who are saying he should step aside. The president this morning, President Trump, standing by where he was last week, saying the people of Alabama should decide. But the alternative, as you've just heard, is the Democrat Doug Jones, who is all in on abortion rights right through the 9-month gestation period. So, the people of Alabama, much to think about this morning, but those are the facts as they are on this 20th of November. So, your thoughts on this morning, and let's go to our phones, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's head to Texas first, and Tina. Tina, good morning, and welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. saying, well, I'll make my comment and then I'll hang up and listen to your response. You know, I've listened to the Christian stations, all of them, consistently, their support for Roy Moore. Mm-hmm. I've been a police officer for 30 years. Here's my theory on this. As a Christian, he should be held more accountable than most, mm-hmm. because he should know better. I'm not saying he did or didn't do it, but I think that as a nation, we should certainly wait until the investigation is completed before we throw our support down 100%, like a kid throwing a football down at the goal. It's just ridiculous to me that we are so eager to immediately jump on everybody else who's done wrong, including Bill Clinton and whomever you can think of. And I understand that. But shouldn't we also step back as Christians and look at the situation and the facts of Roy Moore before we immediately throw our support and say everybody must be wrong? I understand the issues he stands for, and I stand for those same issues, but if he is doing anything that would discredit his position or make Christianity look bad, then as a whole, we're going to stand behind him and say 100% before we know the facts? That's not how it should be. And also, too, I remember I listened to the show on an officer who had been retired. I'm not sure quite how long he had been on the force, but I've been on the force for 30 years. I can tell you, kids don't want us to sign their yearbook. And unless that cop worked at a school, I'm telling you, kids don't wait outside the courthouse for judges to sign their yearbook or DAs. They don't care. They want their friends to sign it, or they want jocks or whomever. So there is some things that I am questionable on. And to sit here and listen to this constantly, the 100% support and how bad everybody is for even judging this man, oh, my goodness, I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, Tina, can I ask you one question? If you were in Alabama today, you're a registered voter, what would you do on December the 12th?
You know, I would probably vote him in, and here's why. Because of the alternative. But then, after the investigation was complete, have him resign.
Okay.
That's what I would do. Sadly, okay. That's probably what I would do.
Okay. Hey, listen, Tina, I appreciate that very much, and I think that's where a lot of folks perhaps in Alabama are this morning. The allegations are out there. There are doubts. But then you look at the alternative, as Tina's just said, and her vote, if she was in Alabama, would be to vote for Judge Roy Moore, but then continue the investigation. So, interesting point of view there. Cheryl, in Kansas, good morning to you. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Listen, I just wanted to say that between Frank and Moore, Franken has admitted it. And as far as Moore, he has not. Children, if you are... My analogy to these women who are coming out, you know, like with Moore, where they have no proof, is 40 years later, they've been all right with it all this time, and then all of a sudden, wham, wham. They're like children. If you give a child a tattletale, too much power, he's going to figure that out real quick, and then they're going to use it against other children. You can't, there's got to be proof. And also, I wanted to say what I've heard a million times, Jones guys just said, about he's going to support a woman's right to do whatever she wants with her own body. But you know what? I never hear anybody say, what about that baby's body? Mm. All she's doing is getting rid of an inconvenient 9 months in her life, but yet she's given the power to take someone else's body away. It's not her body. It's the baby's body that's involved, and that just eats my lunch.
All right, Cheryl. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right, only got a few minutes left in the program, but I want to get as many calls in as possible. Good morning to North Carolina. And Kim, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Just 2 points I wanted to point out. One is America has lost the concept of innocent until proven guilty. We immediately jump that if an accusation is made that someone is guilty. We need to go back to what our founding fathers was, which is innocent until proven guilty. Mm. But going back to Doug Moore's comment on the baby, here in North Carolina, on the coast, we have areas where turtles lay eggs. They rope off those sections of the coast to protect the eggs until the turtles are born. My question is, why is a turtle more important than a fetus?
Oh.
I am married to a physician. We know when life begins. Science has proven when life begins. I think a woman has a right to control her body. there are many ways to prevent pregnancy in today's society. Abortion should not be a way to prevent pregnancy. Once you're pregnant, your right should stop. If you notice, many times in high schools, kids have given birth to a baby, and then it was born prematurely, and then the baby was thrown away, and they were accused of murder. Mm. Excuse me, but why can we abort a baby at 36 weeks, at 32 weeks, but yet if a teenager had that same baby and put it in a bag, we call it murder?
Yeah.
Why do we protect turtles when we don't protect human life?
That is an incredible question, and I tell you what, the ethics people, I'd like to hear from them. You know, it's very interesting. Kim raises another very interesting point. The liberals like to refer to it as the fetus, not a human being, in the womb of that woman. Here's what's really interesting. We see this time and time again. Two of the people who were murdered at that church in Texas back a few weeks ago, it was a mom and a baby inside her womb, and they call both of those murder. So, and we've got this conflict in our laws. Our laws say, yeah, the woman can have abortion right up to and including the end of the 9-month gestation period because it's not a human being. And yet, if a pregnant woman dies and, you know, a drunk driver hits her car and both the mom and the baby are killed, then it's a double homicide. So that's a straight-up conflict. And why people don't see that and say, wait a minute, either it is or it isn't, but you can't have it both ways. And to me, a shame on our lawmakers for not coming forward and saying we're going to end this right now. It is a baby. It is a human being. And that question from Kim, too, you have laws protecting turtle eggs, but you're okay with the killing of unborn babies. Let's try to get one more call in here. Mike in Virginia, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Say, I was actually going to talk about Roy Moore. However, hypocrisy is the word that comes to mind, not conflict when it comes to the abortion. We had a murder here in Virginia, a huge murder years ago. Five people. But one was in the womb, mm-hmm. But in Virginia, they called it murder.
Yeah.
It's interesting because abortion's legal here. But anyway, that's a side point. You had a caller earlier that said about Roy Moore, well, we need to, you know, hammer it out and we need to figure it out before we vote him in. That's ridiculous. They're holding everything up until the election is done. Mm-hmm. Nay, we need to get him in there. I wish I was in Alabama. I would vote for the boy because it's obvious that it's all set up, in my humble but accurate opinion. But nonetheless, yeah, we can't just wait on this. You can tell that this is a setup. Anyway.
All right, Mike, we appreciate your opinion on this. And we need to pray for the people of Alabama because they are the ones, as I think everyone would agree, are going to make the final decision on this. As of this morning, Judge Roy Moore says he's staying on the ticket because he says he has done nothing wrong. So far, as of this morning, the allegations have not been proven, but there is that thinking out there that you cannot always suppress these allegations when they come this kind of thing from women, and we need to be considering that as part of the equation. But as we say, the allegations have not been proven true yet. Hey, listen, been good to be with you this morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today and tomorrow. Have yourself a good day. Stay tuned for more great programming here on American Family Radio. And we'll see you right here back tomorrow. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.